plans way ahead of time to have things ready. And we're very happy to have our brother Dan Slavinsky from Hartford to serve us. We have received many rich blessings from his hand and from his service. And his talk will be on the Jubilee, the happy time.
Thank you, Brother Tony. Brother Dan McCoy has a pass-out sheet here on the Jubilee, if anyone doesn't have one, see Brother Dan. And this has all the scriptures that we will be using. As Brother Tony has mentioned, we'd like to discuss the Jubilee, the typical Jewish Jubilee, and review some of the various details on how it was calculated, when it was proclaimed, how did it benefit the Jewish people, how the Jewish people would react to this arrangement. And since the Jubilee arrangement was part of the law, and the law is a shadow of good things to come, then the antitype of the Jubilee is a promise of good things to come to all mankind. So our discussion will include the antitypical significance, what it refers to, how will the various classes of mankind react to its announcement, and how it will actually benefit mankind, and how to determine its commencement date, that is the antitypical commencement date, by the mathematical analysis of its cycles. Now, what does Jubilee mean? Well, there are two Hebrew words translated Jubilee. One is 8643 in Strong's, and it is the Hebrew word terurah, and it means, I'll read it from Strong's, it means a clamor, that is, acclamation of joy or a battle cry, especially clangor of trumpets as an alarm. And then the other word is 3104 in Strong's, it's the Hebrew word yobel, and it means the blast of a horn from its continuous sound, especially the signal of the silver trumpets, hence the instrument itself and the festival thus introduced. So the Jubilee was a period of jubilation. It was a special anniversary, a celebration. And it was a Sabbath of rest and refreshing, both to the people and to the land which God gave them. And the word Sabbath signifies rest, and the Jubilee was the chief of a series of Sabbaths or rest. Now, item number one on your, under the type, you see the Jews had a Sabbath of rest every seventh day. And this we read in Leviticus, the 23rd chapter. Leviticus 23, verses 1 through 3, and the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, concerning the feast of the Lord, which ye shall proclaim to be holy convocations, even these are my feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of rest and holy convocation. Ye shall do no work therein. It is the Sabbath of the Lord in all your dwellings. Now this was their first rest day. Now in the spring, item number two, in the spring, once a year, when the first crop of the land was due, which would have to be the barley, these typical Sabbath days reached a climax. In other words, a cycle of 7 Sabbath days would reach a period of 49 days. 7 times 7 is 49. And this would be followed by the Jubilee day, the 50th day. And this we read in Leviticus 23:15, and ye shall count unto you from the morrow after the Sabbath, from the day that ye brought the sheaf of the wave offering, 7 Sabbaths shall be complete. Even unto the morrow after the 7th Sabbath shall ye number 50 days, and ye shall offer a new meat offering unto the Lord. And then in verse 21 it says, and ye shall proclaim on the selfsame day that it may be a holy convocation unto you. Ye shall do no servile work therein. It shall be a statute forever in all your dwellings throughout all your generations. Now, this 50th day was known among the Jews as Pentecost. It was a day of rejoicing and thanksgiving. In verse 15 of that 23rd chapter, mentions about the sheaf of the wave offering. Well, in Antitype, the sheaf of the wave offering was the first fruits, that is, the barley sheaf, and it typified the resurrection of the Lord. And in 50 days, the 50th day was a type of the Pentecostal blessings, the beginning of the Holy Spirit, which was 50 days after our Lord's resurrection. Okay, now that takes care of the Sabbath days. Now, item number three. The Sabbath day system was followed by a series of Sabbath years. This we read in Leviticus 25. The Lord spake unto Moses in Mount Sinai, saying, Speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, When ye come into the land which I give you, notice it says, When ye come into the land which I give you, then shall the land keep a Sabbath unto the Lord. 6 years thou shalt sow thy field, and 6 years thou shalt prune thy vineyard, and gather in the fruit thereof. But in the seventh year shall be a Sabbath of rest unto the land, a Sabbath for the Lord. For thou shalt neither sow thy field, nor prune thy vineyard. That which groweth of its own accord of thy harvest, thou shalt not reap, neither gather the grapes of thy vine undressed. For it is a year of rest unto the land, and the Sabbath of the land shall be meat for you, for thee, and for thy servant, and for thy maid, for thy hired servant, and for thy stranger that sojourneth with thee, and for thy cattle, and for the beasts that are in thy land, shall all the increase thereof be meat. So as the Jews rested every seventh day, their land was to rest every seventh year. Now, item number four, when these Sabbath years reached a climax of seven cycles, 7 times 7 equals 49 years, then the 50th year was proclaimed the Jubilee. And this we read in Leviticus 25 verses 8. Thou shalt number 7 Sabbaths of years unto thee, 7 times 7 years, and the space of the 7 Sabbaths of years shall be unto thee 49 years. Then shalt thou cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month. In the day of atonement shall ye make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. And ye shall hallow the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land unto all which groweth of itself in it, or gather the grapes in it of thy vine undressed, for it is the Jubilee. It shall be holy unto you. Ye shall eat the increase thereof out of the field. In the year of this Jubilee ye shall return every man unto his possession. So the Jubilee was calculated every 50 years, and as verse 2 of this 25th chapter says, when ye come unto the land, this arrangement started when they came unto the land, and as you see, after their wilderness journeys, when they came unto the land of Canaan, this Jubilee system started. It started here. And you have a map just like this on the last page. Now, item number five. When was it proclaimed? Well, as verse 9 we had read, it was proclaimed on the 10th day of the 7th month. We remember when the Lord gave Moses commandments concerning the Passover, he says, This month shall be the beginning of months. It shall be the first month of the year to you. Now, that was the start of their ecclesiastical year, or their religious year. That started in the spring with the month Nisan. The nation of Israel counted their number of their months of their year from the spring. The seventh month would fall in the autumn, around October. It was the beginning of their civil year, and that coincided with the beginning of the year of their Gentile neighbors. So the Sabbath years and the Jubilee years began in the fall, the 10th day of the 7th month. It also coincided with the Atonement Day sacrifices, which we read about in our Christian meeting on Leviticus 16. Now, item number 6. How did the Jewish people benefit from this arrangement? The 13th verse of Leviticus 25, we said, "In the year of Jubilee, ye shall return every man to his possession." Now, why would one lose his possession in the first place? Well, when Israel came into this land, over here, when they came into this land, their land was divided amongst them. It was divided according to their tribes and their families. And during a period of 50 years, each one of these arcs here represents a period of 50 years. During a period of 50 years, a success might increase, or poverty or misfortune, it might decrease one's individual possessions, as the case might be. If a man became involved in a debt, he might have to sell part or even all of his property. However, in the Jubilee arrangement, the land was never really to be sold. We read about this in verse 23. It says, "The land shall not be sold forever, for the land is mine, for ye are strangers and sojourners with me." So at the end of every 50 years, lost homesteads and lands were restored to the original families. If property had been sold because of debt, it was to be considered only as a grant of such property until the Jubilee year that it was returned. Item number 7 mentions that the price of the land would bring, if it sold, it depended on whether the coming Jubilee was near or far distant, because it was to be returned anyway. We read in verse 14, "And if thou sell aught unto thy neighbor, or buyest aught of thy neighbor's hand, ye shall not oppress one another. According to the number of years after the Jubilee, thou shalt buy of thy neighbor, and according to the number of years of the fruits he shall sell unto thee. According to the multitude of years thou shalt increase the price thereof, and according to the fewness of years thou shalt diminish the price of it. For according to the number of the years of the fruits doth he sell unto thee. Ye shall not therefore oppress one another, but thou shalt fear thy God, for I am the Lord thy God." So, for an example, if you bought some land from someone who was in debt, and let's say it was 40 years to the next Jubilee, well, it was adjusted. In other words, you might have to pay 40 pieces of silver per acre. Now, if it was only 10 years to the next Jubilee, you might pay, say, for instance, 10 pieces of silver per acre, because the land is yours to use for only 10 years. Then it has to be returned. So the prices of things were adjusted according to the time that the Jubilee would appear. Now, item number 8, it says, during the Jubilee, the year of Jubilee, in verse 10 we read, "You shall return every man to his possession, and you shall return every man to his family." So, not only were possessions returned, but you should return every man to his family. Why would someone be separated from his family? Well, verses 39, it says, "And if thy brother that waxeth, that dwelleth by thee, he waxeth poor, and be sold unto thee, thou shalt not compel him to serve as a bond servant, but as a hard servant and as a sojourner, he shall be with thee and shall serve thee unto the year of Jubilee. And then shall he depart from thee, both he and his children with him, and shall return unto his own family. and unto the possession of his fathers shall he return. So the Jubilee, you see, released those who were in servitude. The Jubilee arrangement, you see, was a cancellation of all accounts. It made a fresh start for the next term of 50 years. The next term of 50 years, it made a fresh start. It prevented the accumulation of wealth in the hands of just one class. It prevented a class of the poor. Now, how do you think the Jewish people would react to this arrangement? Do you think everybody was happy about that? And their fallen human flesh with selfish hearts, it no doubt brought much discontent along with rejoicing. Those who had slaves, had land, had possessions, they found it difficult to give up their wealth that was accumulated over the years. And those who were to be released from servitude and to regain their lands and their possessions, they no doubt were anxious. Maybe they lost their tempers and demanded their rights and their liberties. You know, a parcel of land could have been bought and sold several times in a 50-year period. And the original owner and the new owners may both have died. Who does the land belong to at the end of 50 years? One family might claim it belongs to their grandfather, so it's theirs. Another family claims the same thing. Well, someone here submitted a false claim. This causes confusion and strife. Records now have to be checked. Just who are the rightful owners? So the Jubilee was proclaimed the 10th day of the 7th month. Do you think all was restored and back to normal on the 11th day? After a 49-year period, it probably took most of the year to straighten out affairs and get each one fully installed against his former liberties and rights and his possessions. Now, what about the Antichrist? What scriptures show that this arrangement has an antitypical significance? Well, under item number one under the antitype, scripture in Colossians, which is Colossians 2, verses 16 and 17. Says, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of a holy day or of the new moon or of the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. The Jubilee was a Sabbath. It was a Sabbath in a series of Sabbaths. And then Hebrews 10:1, it says, have for the law having a shadow of good things to come. The Jubilee was part of the law. So it prefigured good things to come. Now, what were these good things to come? Well, item number two has the scripture of Acts 3, 19-21. Repent ye therefore and be converted, that your sins may be blotted out, when the times of refreshing shall come from the presence of the Lord, and he shall send Jesus Christ, which before was preached unto you, whom the heaven must receive unto the times of restitution of all things, which God hath spoken by the mouth of all his holy prophets since the world began. You see, the times of restitution, restoring all things, they were all prefigured in this type, in the Jubilee, where it said that he shall return every man unto his possession and every man to his family. It's all prefigured in that. Now, will everyone be happy and joyful when the antitypical Jubilee trump begins to blow? This has an antitypical significance? Not very likely. The transition period of proclaiming and making known to mankind the inequalities of the past 6,000 years and making people aware of their rights in and their liberties and their freedom is also a period of strife and confusion and struggle. Again, as in the typical Jubilee year, it is a battle of the adverse of the haves and those who have not. Isaiah 21:12 states, "The watchman said, the morning cometh, and also the night." In other words, it is a glorious morning, but it brings on worldwide discontent. And in proportion as the blessings of God have come, the discontent of humanity also increases because the law of selfishness still prevails. Now, what events or movements in the world proclaim liberty now to mankind now? In the early promotion of this day, one sees the sweeping reforms to eliminate the poverty and suppression of the past. Labor unions and governmental reforms, abolishment of slavery, social security, freedom of speech, freedom of press, equal rights, laws passed for the protection of one's health, protect the working man, the consumer, various agencies, all to aid the public. This makes men aware of their rights and their liberties. And the good that many of these reforms bring about by good heart intentions are sometimes offset by selfishness of man, by the desire and love of money. The spirit of liberty throughout all the land is indeed sometimes carried to an unreasonable extent. Some think not only their real rights, but then they go beyond and they infringe on the rights of others. When a movement tries to reform or suppress some things which are bad for your health, let's just take the liquor or tobacco. These are multi-billion dollar industries. Some industries, they employ lobbyists, which just influence public officials in support of their own groups. No matter how bad or detrimental they are to the public or to society, so certainly they will not submit to this leveling process of the present Jubilee Trump without a great and severe struggle. It is a battle of haves versus the have-nots, labor versus capital, liberty versus oppression, and justice versus injustice. So in the early promotion of this anti-typical Jubilee Trump, such laws and reforms and arrangements are not yet perfected, nor are they universal, but it makes manifest the hidden things of the past, and it helps break down the old order, which must surrender expired claims and privileges before the Jubilee can be rightly appreciated. Now, under item number 3, how will mankind eventually benefit by it? What does it mean to return every man unto his possession? What possessions have mankind lost? Well, Genesis, the first chapter, verses 26, it says, "And God said, let us make man in our image, after our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, and over the fowl of the air, and over the cattle, and over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creepeth upon the earth." So God created man in his own image. In the image of God created he him. Male and female created he them. And God blessed them. And God said unto them, "Be fruitful and multiply and replenish the earth and subdue it and have dominion over the fish of the sea and over the fowl of the air and over every living thing that moveth upon the earth." These three scriptures here show man as earth's ruler with divine authority over the beasts of the field, over the fowls of the air, and over the fish of the sea. Certainly, perfect man has lost the power of control over animals, but what man tries now to have dominion over is his fellow man, a commission that was never given by divine authority. Adam was told to subdue the earth, that is, conquer or develop it. A replenish means to fill the earth. Well, only the Garden of Eden was perfected, subdued, or developed. The scriptures say, the Lord God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he formed. Well, Adam lost his home, and the Jubilee will return man to his beautiful home, his possession. The earth will be perfected. Psalms 67:6 states, then shall your earth yield her increase. Item number 4, it says, what does it mean to return every man to his family? Well, in the typical Jubilee, they were returned because of slavery. Mankind has been slaves to sin. So the Jubilee will restore release, will release man from original sin and the weaknesses inherited through Adam's fall. Romans 5:12 says, as by one man sin entered into the world, and death by sin, and so death passed upon all men, for that all have sinned. Psalms 51:5 states, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. So mankind's a slave to sin. However, the scriptures speak of a release. 1 Corinthians 15:22, for as in Adam all die, even so in Christ shall all be made alive. Mankind's release in their subsequent trial will be under very favorable conditions. Every man will stand the test for himself alone. None will die because of Adam's sin or because of inherited imperfections. The scriptures speak, it says, it shall no more be said, the fathers have eaten sour grape, and the children's teeth are set on edge. That the soul that's in it, it shall die. So, as in the type, after 49 years, it took a whole year to proclaim Jubilee. So after 6,000 years of sin and death, it's going to take the 1,000 years, the antitypical restitution of all things, Earth's great Jubilee, to return all to their possessions and families. Scriptures say, and then the end, when he shall have delivered up the kingdom to God, even the Father, when he shall have put down all of rule and authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that shall be destroyed is death. So this death is in reference to Adamic death, which came upon man through one man's disobedience. So the Jubilee period in Antitype, right over here, it is not a perfect age. It is a perfecting age. It is a perfecting age in which mankind will be delivered not only from the tomb, but from every shame and degree of death, with full resurrection, a raising up again to the condition of Father Adam. Now, when we consider the mathematical analysis of the Jubilee cycles, I realize that understanding it is not easy for everyone. You know, some have difficulty with math. Some might say, well, why even talk about it? Well, perhaps we can gain an appreciation of the Jubilees from a different standpoint. The scripture we read in Acts 3:21, it states, whom the heaven must receive or retain unto the times of restitution of all things. Well, this states that our Lord's second advent, times of restitution, they start at the same time. Now, how did the early truth movement in the 1870s, how did they determine our Lord was invisibly present in 1874? We had discussed in our question meeting about various aspects of that. Did they in the 1870s have the signs that we see today? The distress of nation, the increase of knowledge. Israel restored? Did they have the cries for freedom and liberty all around them like we have today? No, they didn't. It was a time prophecy and chronology that pointed the way. Well, not so stated in so many words in his writings, but it has been corroborated by, in the past, by some of the older brethren who were associated with him in his earlier days of his ministry, that through the application of the Jubilee cycles, the fact of our Lord's second presence was first brought to the attention of Brother Russell. Brother Tony had mentioned earlier that, and this is in a reprint article, 3820, that the attention of this presence of the Lord was brought to her attention of Brother Russell when, by prophetic time, understanding prophetic time by reading a paper called The Herald of the Morning, and there in it, its editor, Nelson Barber, stated that Christ's presence had dated from the autumn of 1874. And so our pastor, he inquired of Nelson Barber for his reasons, and he was fully convinced. And as Brother Tony stated, he asked them, well, what are you going to do about this newly found light on the presence and restitution? Well, Mr. Barber said nothing was being done by him. So our pastor then gave Mr. Barber money and instructions to prepare a book combining the idea of restitution with time prophecies. And The Three Worlds was printed. And in the Harvest Gleanings, Volume 1, The Three Worlds was reprinted for us, and you can see The Three Worlds, Harvest of This World. It was published by N.H. Barber and C.T. Russell, Rochester, New York, in 1877. Now, C.T. Russell's name appears here, but he says in this article that it was mainly the work of Brother Barber, but he gave him money, and he had something to do with the arrangement of this book. And it has a chapter in it, which is called The Jubilee. The Jubilee. And in this chapter, it has the same foundation for the Jubilee chapter written in the second volume of The Time Is at Hand by Brother Russell in 1889. And the reason I bring this out, just to show you, I don't recommend you reading The Three Worlds, I just recommend that how early Jubilees, the application of the Jubilee cycles was brought to the early church. At this point, it to the presence of our Lord. So it appears then that the correct application of the Jubilee cycles was a key which unlocked a storehouse of precious things. So let us review the mathematical analysis of the Jubilees and to see why it points to 1874 as the beginning of Earth's Great Jubilee. Not from the standpoint of a head knowledge to understand it, but the heart appreciation of the key which unlocked the storehouse of truth. Now there are two ways to do this. One is according to the law, and the other one is according to prophetic testimony. Item number one, according to the law, it says in Matthew 5:18, verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Now when our Lord said these, that not one jot or tittle of the law should pass away until fulfilled, it implied that the blessings expressed in the Jubilee arrangement, over here, of returning every man to his possession and family would be sure of fulfillment upon an antitypical scale. In the Jewish ceremonies, God caused no type to be made which would prove meaningless or pass unfulfilled. The observance of a type must be kept up until their fulfillment at least began. All types must be continually repeated until there any types appear. For the keeping of a type is not the fulfilling of it. The fulfilling is reached when where the type ceases being displaced by the reality, the anti-type. For an example, the Jews slayed a Passover lamb every year, but the anti-type was fulfilled in the death of Christ, the Lamb of God, and there began the special blessings upon the antitypical firstborn, the believers of the gospel age. And the blessings foreshadowed in that type is not yet completely fulfilled, though the fulfillment began with the death of Christ, our Passover lamb. However, it would appear that this feature of the law, the Jubilee, did pass away, and passing away without an antitypical fulfillment. Now, why do we say that? Well, the nation of Israel, when they began keeping the Jubilee system, when they entered the land, they could only do it until their nation went into captivity in Babylon. That is with the overthrow of Zedekiah, right here, a land of desolation. Because once in Babylon, you can't keep a Jubilee system every 50 years when you are in captivity for 70 years. And your land is supposed to rest every 50th year. So if the type ended there, did the anti-type follow? Did Bert's Great Jubilee, which we mentioned the times of restitution, did it begin here? If not, then these Jubilee cycles must in some way continue from there into active operation until the anti-type, until otherwise it passed away, and it passed away without a fulfillment. So how did they continue? Well, item number two, it is evidently the Lord's arrangement that just as in the type, the beginnings of the Jubilee day was fixed by squaring the small cycles of Sabbath days, 7 times 7 equals 49, that introduced the Jubilee day. So, in the anti-type here, the 7 times 7 of the Jubilee years would equal 49, and that would introduce the 50th. So in anti-type, the commencement of the Grand Jubilee is to be fixed by squaring the larger or the higher cycles of Jubilee years, 50 times 50. And the fact that no anti-type of the Jubilee began here in any sense begin when the Israelites ceased to observe the last one is evident. So a large cycle, a grand cycle, 50 times 50 began to count. And in this way, our Lord pointed to the glorious restitution work that would be under our, would be being done under our Son, your Son. Now, 50 times 50 equals 2,500 years. Now, item number three, where do we begin counting this grand cycle? We begin counting it where the last typical Jubilee year ended, right here. Now, 19 cycles were observed until they went into the captivity. If you count all these dark arches here, you'll find that there are 19 of these. And that 19 times 50 equals a period of 950 years. And there would be 19 years left over before the desolation. Now, how do we know that for sure? Well, you have the division of the land for 6. You have the 450 years of the judges. And you have 513 years of the kings. You total that up, you will have 969 years. But 19 cycles times 50 equals 950 years. So you have 19 years left over to the desolation. 19 years here left over to the desolation. So the grand cycle began with the last Jubilee year was kept. Now where does this cycle lead us to? Where would 2,500 years take us to from here? Well, you see in item number 4, you have 19 years to the desolation, you have 70 years of the desolation, you have 536 years to the AD dateline, and then to October 1874, 1874 years, and that gives you a total of, if you add them up, it's 2,499 years. And now the 2,500 year is not a typical year. It is not a typical year beginning in the autumn of 1874 and ending in the autumn of 1875, but it is the reality. It is the antitypical thousand years of restitution of all things, which commenced with our Lord's second presence in 1874. And it took a full year here in the type to restore all. It'll take a full thousand years to restore all in the antitype. So according to the law, the grand cycle of 2,500 years began where the last typical cycle, last Jubilee, was kept. And the 2,500 year is the times of restitution, or the millennial age. Now, according to prophetic testimony, we can also illustrate that the antitypical Jubilee began in 1874. On page number 2, under item number 1, we're going to read Jeremiah, the 25th chapter. Verses 8, it says, "And therefore, saith the Lord of hosts, because ye have not heard my words, behold, I will send and take all the families of the north, saith the Lord, and Nebuchadnezzar, the king of Babylon, my servant, and will bring them against this land, and against the inhabitants thereof, and against all these nations round about, and will utterly destroy them, and make them an astonishment, and a hissing, and a perpetual desolations. Moreover, I will take from them the voice of mirth, and the voice of gladness, the voice of the bridegroom, and the voice of the bride, the sound of the millstone, and the light of the candle, and this whole land shall be a desolation, and an astonishment, and these nations shall serve the king of Babylon 70 years." Now, why did Jeremiah foretell that the land would be desolate for 70 years? Why didn't he pick 65 or 75? The answer we find in 2 Chronicles, the 36th chapter, verse 21, where it says, "To fulfill the word of the Lord by the mouth of Jeremiah until the land had enjoyed her Sabbaths. For as long as she lay desolate, she kept Sabbath to fulfill 70. From this statement, we see that Israel had failed to observe properly the sabbatical years, which the Jubilee was the chief. So God permitted their half-hearted obedience for a while, but finally he removed them from their land and he made the land desolate. And he let the land rest for its entire number of Jubilee years. 70 Jubilee years. He let the land rest right here. Not only those that they had imperfectly kept, but the full number which would elapse until the antitype. And if you count on your chart, you will find that there are 70 of these arcs, which should have been a Jubilee arrangement for them before the antitype. So the full number of Jubilee cycles which God had ordained was 70, as shown by these plain statements relative to the reason for the 70 years of desolation of the land. And as I say, the chart illustrates these 70. Now, in order to figure the length of this period, prophecy shows the cycles as they will actually occur. So the first 19 cycles had Jubilee years, even though they kept them imperfectly. And 19 times 50 is 950 years, and the remaining 51 cycles over here, they didn't keep Jubilee years. So you figure that by 51 times 51 cycles times only 49, and that equals 2499. And when you add up those two periods together, it equals 3,449 years. So then, if you add up these years here of 6 and 450 and 513 and 70 and 536 and 1874, you will find they come up to 3,449. So this is the period of 70 cycles from the beginning of the Jubilee system on entering Canaan until the Antitype in 1874. So by divine arrangement, we intended for our instruction, we have these double proofs matching each other perfectly. By the law, a grand cycle began of 2,500 years here, ending there, by prophetic evidence, you have a total of 70 cycles, beginning with the entrance of Canaan, both methods ending at this time here. That was the time prophecy and chronology that showed the early church that the Lord was present. And then later after that, other evidences of scripture relating to our Lord's return were then examined. And working back from 1874, these time prophecies in Daniel, the 12th chapter, beginning with 1260, the 1290, and the 1335 days, they also harmonized date of 1874. And there was other points of interest too. An interesting point is that when we consider this chart of Bible chronology, that from the fall in the Garden of Eden until 1874 is 6,000 years. 6,000 years. We say from the fall because if you go from the creation of Adam, 6,000 years ends in 1872. But Adam was created on the end of the sixth day, and allowing for 2 years of sinlessness in the garden, 6,000 years to 1874. And the point is that Jesus said in Matthew 12:8, the Son of Man is Lord even of the Sabbath day. This is also one of the evidences that Christ Second Advent would begin in 1874. For if he's the Lord of the Sabbath day, you would expect him to be present on his seventh 1,000-year day on earth here. So God has eventually arranged for the permission of evil and sin for 6,000 years plus the cleansing and restitution of all shall be accomplished during the 7,000-year day. And there's one other interesting thing when you consider Bible chronology, that this whole period of time, 7,000 years, in the scriptures it's termed God's rest day. In the first chapter of Genesis, you know, each of the other six creative days is divided into an evening and a morning. So the seventh day of God's rest day could be divided also into an evening and a morning period. One half of 7,000 is 3,500 years. And the dividing point, the dividing line of 3,500 years is when the last typical Jubilee year began to be observed, right at 3,500 years. So it would appear that the evening period would be the era of types. And then the morning period would begin the era of antitypes, beginning with the antitypical cycle until the commencement of first great Jubilee. Then the kingdom is turned back over to the Father. So the midway point of God's rest day is when the last typical Jubilee began to be observed. So in conclusion, the typical jubilee with God's arrangement, by which every 50 years, a year was set aside to restore the people their land and their possessions. We would not expect much work of restoration to be done right away. It would be a time rather of demanding rights and investigating claims. Selfishness would be sure to follow any proclamation of the jubilee, and it would be inaugurated in much trouble, but eventually rich and poor, who are pure in heart, would agree that the Lord's arrangement was best. So likewise in the Antitype, the whole 1,000 years will be required to restore man all that was lost by Adam. It will be also inaugurated in a time of trouble such as never was since there was a nation. The world has heard the trumpet of liberty and is learning to appreciate their freedom. People are demanding their rights to the land and other earthly possessions, but mankind will cling to their own interests and will not relinquish their hold with selfish human nature. Force has to be applied. And the world, having begun to taste the sweets of liberty, finding their desires for freedom and happiness frustrated, will break away from all restraints, and anarchy must follow. The old order must be brought to an end. But when the Lord, the Prince of Peace, he stills the tempest, and it begins to bestow individual blessings upon the fallen race. When returning from the sleep of death and being reunited with families, when good deeds are quickly rewarded and evil deeds receive a certain and a just punishment, then all men will recognize that they have a loving and a righteous judge. And eventually every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. God the Father. So, dear friends, what a beautiful picture we have in the Jubilee. Ye shall return every man to his possession, and ye shall return every man to his family. Charles?
Gave us the due season, following the blessings that the Lord provided to our wise and faithful servants. We received a great blessing today. Please, your Waterbury is receiving a blessing today, but we also receive more tomorrow and next week. And I'd like to talk about we're going to have where the world of mankind will have the Spirit coming upon them. Tomorrow we'll learn a little bit more about the Spirit that we have today in ourselves. Perhaps we can have a hint to see today, this afternoon, appendix feet. Holy, holy, holy. We'll have the first and last portion of appendix feet.
Our dear gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for this gathering. We have the privilege to come to part of the affairs of the world this rainy afternoon to be here with those of my precious faith, discuss thy wonderful truths, precious gems, and thy word of God. We thank thee for our understanding of these things. May increase our faith. We know that any typical fulfillment of these things will surely be brought to pass. We were faithful to death, and we have the privilege of blessing all the animals of the earth. We thank thee now for temple food that they're about to be served, Lord, and the energy derived from it. We use it in thy service and help you among one another. Live a holy life. Thank you. Now, we ask it all.